Hello and welcome, Jets fans, to yet another edition of the Jets Stream, the official New York Jets podcast of Gotham Sports Network. My name is Jesse Finver. With me, as always, Connor Sheeran. Connor, I attended my first ever Jets win on Sunday. I'd never been to a Jets game where they'd won the football game in my whole life.
Hell of a one to, you know, get your first win with.
The Mike White Show. Oh, yeah. It was the Mike White Show, folks. Listen, we were talking about this for a couple of weeks now, just hoping that we can get a different quarterback in there over Zach. We've been done with him since that Patriots game. And yesterday, everybody saw why. Because this team's really good when Zach Wilson isn't the quarterback. So I was at the game. So, I mean, and I had like, I had some nice seats. I got lucky and my buddy took me. He has some very, very good seats. And the seats are like very similar to the broadcast view almost. So I felt like I was able to see the game really well, but it's still not the same. Even when I was like, I went back and watched a 12-minute highlight clip on YouTube after. Yeah. I wanted to hear the calls, and I wanted to just see like how the game really went. And it's always just different on TV, no matter what. But you got to watch the whole game on TV, so I want to start by asking you, you know, what are your takeaways from this game? A lot happened. A lot of guys ate. So what was your reaction to this 31-10 drubbing?
I mean, I think it's like you said, the offense is a lot of fun to watch when you have a good person throwing the ball. And Mike White was cooking yesterday. There's only like two or three passes I can think of off the top of my head that, you know, were bad or questionable that I could think of. One was like when the game was, it was over. It was kind of like, he just threw it to the side, kind of like as an attempted screen that almost got intercepted.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, it was like, he just made it look so easy. And it seems to be like every analyst talking about it was saying the same thing. He just made it look so easy.
Yeah.
You know, like nailing all these passes. He's doing the check down. He's going through his progressions. And the progressions are bam, 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 just firing him off. He's not looking at a guy holding his focus there for too long. If he sees it's not there, he moves to the next one. Same thing. And if nothing's there, then he'll throw the check down. If the check down only gets 2 or 3 yards, it only gets 2 or 3 yards. But guess what? That's better than taking a sack. It's better than an incompletion. It's better than forcing it into, you know, double coverage. And White really wasn't doing that. He was trusting his guys. He was trusting even ones that have had, you know, the off-field issues like Elijah Moore. I mean, look. Elijah Moore went off yesterday. He ate. He got his touchdown. He got his, like, you know, 40-yard reception. And that's because he had a quarterback that he trusted and was able to, you know, the ball was able to get to him. And Mike White, I mean, it's the decision that I don't envy Robert Saleh and company having to make. I mean, it's obvious that they can't go back to Wilson for this week. Rest of these games are too important. And you and I have said, if this was a different scenario, if this team wasn't in the position that they were in, this wouldn't even be a conversation right now. White probably wouldn't even played yesterday if the team wasn't in the playoff race. And they're currently seventh, which means they're in the playoffs, but they're very much in line to, you know, win the AFC East. The Dolphins are only a game ahead of them. They own the tiebreaker against the Dolphins and the Bills, who are currently both ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if that weren't the case, Zach Wilson's still playing. But Mike White, he went in there. He did everything he needed to do. He threw three touchdowns, over 300 yards. He got it to 10 different receivers. It's incredible.
It's something that we don't see ever from Jets quarterbacks.
Not even something that you can just say, hey, well, yeah, like you said, you don't see it from Jets quarterbacks. You certainly don't see it from Zach Wilson. And watching him play yesterday, by the way, I love everyone making the comment about, you know, how Zach said the the thing about the wind last week, and then like 22 for 28, 300 plus yards. I mean, three touchdowns. You were there in a goddamn monsoon, and that was practically the whole game. I don't really know exactly when it started raining, but
it was the game
1:30 ish when it really started coming down.
So it was definitely raining pregame during warmups, and then it stopped for a little bit, and then it picked up, and it didn't stop the rest of the game.
Right.
I was lucky enough that I was covered, so nice. I didn't have to deal with the rain.
Every time they showed the stand, it's just people sitting with the plastic shit all over them and stuff, and everyone's either looking Bears
ponchos.
Yeah, ponchos. Thank you. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Every Bears fan, obviously, they show is looking completely miserable, but then every Jet fan is just like, dancing. They don't care if they're getting wet. Like it's a blast. And by the way, I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, you were there, so you could see, but I mean, that looked like it was a pretty packed house.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was, I said, and it was everybody that I was there with, and even people I didn't attend the game with, it was just a great vibe all around. There were a ton of people. We were having a ton of fun. And I mean, it was the most fun I've had a football game in 8 years since that Ohio State, Penn State win when we stormed the blocked the kick, stormed the field and everything. But like everybody couldn't stop saying like, it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's raining and this place is packed.
Right.
It's the fans showed up. Everybody was there. No one gave a shit about the rain.
Right.
Everybody wanted to see Mike White play. And I could listen, I went week one and we left at halfway through the third quarter, maybe even earlier than that, against the Ravens, because the game was just over. Like we could tell nothing was happening that game. And we were just like, it's time to go. This game, we left early because we were up so much. But this game, that first drive, I've never seen it. I haven't seen the Jets do this. Like they did it a little bit last year. They had some good first drives, right?
Yeah.
But this is not something that this team has done. And that first drive was just so methodical. Spreading the ball around. It started with that first throw to Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
That slant over the middle where he hits him in stride and Garrett makes the great catch and holds on. And I mean, you hit Conklin and you hit all these, and like just it was just a methodical, beautiful drive. Beautiful drive. Ended when Garrett got held on in the end zone and he breaks away and
gets
a touchdown. Didn't even matter. I mean, he's a superstar. He is legitimately he's a wide receiver one, just so good. And Elijah, I know he had two targets and two catches, but like those are two huge plays and he played great and he's happy.
Did you see any of his post game stuff?
Yeah, he's like talking to the ball, like saying how much he loves the ball.
Also him saying, he's like, this is all like him saying. I mean, I'm sure it might have been to Jhené Coakley, SNY, just saying, this is New York Jets football. He really started emphasizing the word this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, geez. I mean, it was. I did see some posts, and I agree with a lot of people saying it's like we can celebrate how good Mike White did and how good the offense looked without having to take a shit all over Zach Wilson. Like,
yeah, we can, but I think that.
And I know we've just been at that guy for like the past 3 weeks. I feel like we can't do that.
We're not in there. We're not in that locker room. We don't know how much these guys like or dislike Zach Wilson. And it's very possible that they don't like him.
Yeah.
They just don't like him. Like I don't know if you saw that Broncos defender
yelling
at Russell Wilson.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I think that it was probably a very similar vibe with the Jets and Zach Wilson. Where the Broncos have an elite defense. I mean, I know they traded Bradley Chubb and everything, and Robert Quinn was it Robert Quinn or whatever it was.
No, it wasn't.
That was the Bears. That was the Bears and Roquan Smith. They traded Bradley Chubb though still, and I mean he's an elite pass rusher, and that defense is still very good. Patrick Surtain is still one of the best corners in football, and they got to be frustrated as hell too.
Got it.
And I mean, you know, Russell Wilson's like one of the corniest people like ever. So like that's, that probably is wearing out real, real quickly. Right. With Zach Wilson, I mean, these guys are, like I said, these guys, like I said this last week, they come from winning programs. These are guys that are used to winning. This is a team that they know is good, that they know can do like do damage this year and go on a run with how good this defense is and how good those skill positions are. You know, they're finally getting healthier. You know, you got Max Mitchell back and he played great. He was like one of the top graded. We always take PFF with a grain of salt. We use it for our arguments when it helps us and we bash it when it doesn't.
Bash it when it doesn't. That's the rule.
But Max Mitchell was like one of the highest graded tackles in football this week. He was fantastic. He didn't let up a single sack. He was great. So, you know, having him back is huge. Rookie, young guy. I thought was practicing last week. He'll be back soon. They're getting healthier and healthier on the offensive line. And I mentioned this before we started recording, but this wasn't just the Mike White show. This wasn't just the Mike White show. This was the backup show. And what I mean by that is the two leading rushers for the Jets were Zonovan Knight and Ty Johnson. Zonovan Knight had 96 yards in total. He had 96 total yards. He played, he was a revelation.
Yeah.
He looked 27 in black, looked great. He was flying around the field.
Great. So great.
He was really good. And I think it was a great call by Robert Saleh to bench James Robinson, who hasn't looked like James Robinson that we know. Right from his Jacksonville days, he's clearly like dealing with some stuff and he just hasn't had explosiveness at all. And they're like, you know what? Like, if we're going to bench Zach Wilson, like, you know what? Let's own all of our mistakes. James Robinson doesn't look that good. Let's start Zonovan Knight. What do we have to lose? He's been great in practice. And they start him and he's been fantastic, you know. But it was just unbelievable. The vibe in the building, that first drive was so great. And even when they came back and it was 10-7, there was no like fear in the crowd. There was no like nervousness. We were just like, all right, like it's the Bear. Like, come on, let's get our points. Like, it should have been 10-10. We knew that. We were moving the ball. It wasn't like we were like three and out and we were like, uh-oh, like like no, it was just like it was a weird botched like rainy snap. And then Zuerlein hit like a 57 yarder later in the game.
And later on. And I said to you before this, it's hilarious that they had to include on the stat line that Braden Mann threw a pass because he was like doing the on the botched field, which like doing just going down the ground.
Which honestly, at first we were like, "What was he doing?" And then we were like,
"It helped."
Oh, that was brilliant, Braden Mann.
Man, you know, chestnut checkers. Yeah. he saved them like what, like 30 yards probably by throwing that.
Yep.
Something like that. Yep. And it was crazy. You're watching that play happen. When the Bears picked it up, they're running it down the field, and you're like, "Oh my God, they're going to return this right now. They're going to return this." And then whoever had the Bear, the Bears guy, had he dropped it.
Yeah,
like, and the Jets, who for all the things that they do well, still can't seem to hop like jump on a fumble.
I know, it's insane.
It's like the one thing that I can. Well, there are a few things, but. Thing that just immediately jumps to mind that I just don't understand why they find that like impossible. But I forget who was doing the announcement. I don't know the Fox crews as well as I know the CBS crews, but the play-by-play was just like, "Oh, they're all hopping around it. It's like they're all trying to hop on a wet bar of soap."
Yeah. I think that was it Joe Davis who was doing the game?
It might have been
guy.
Yeah, it might have been.
I was looking on Twitter and people were like, they were like, "Did I just hear Daryl Johnson say the color guy just say that the Jets don't have a game changing playmaker on at any level of the positions?" Every Jets fan was just like, "What is this guy watching?" Like
he's sitting there in the pregame booth with this giant Super Bowl ring on his hand. I was like, "Oh my God, this."
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys.
Brother.
I know. Right. What a great game. It was just a really good game. But having these guys come in, what I was saying with Zonovan and Ty Johnson, you know, good on Robert Saleh, good on the coaching staff. They've really shown their worth the last 2 weeks or so. with how they've responded since that Patriots game. And it was great. Bryce Huff got a sack. Nate Shepard and John Franklin Myers split a sack. Do we have a CJ had an interception?
Interception right there at the end.
Let's see. Quinnen had a quarterback hit. Was there another interception? No, I think it was just CJ Mosley.
DJ Reed almost had that one, but it got in it when they had the touchdown pass.
Yeah, like went over his shoulder like, almost.
Out of both there, like they were like fighting for it, and Pringle was just like, absolutely not. I'm getting my first touchdown catch. Yeah. Just ripped it right out of his hands.
No, that was definitely an impression. It was pretty crazy. It was like, yeah. We were like, oh my God, like that was.
Yeah, it's like not even Matt.
What is happening?
Like, Reed was right in front of him. Like you couldn't ask for better protection, better coverage. And I mean, Trevor Siemian just put it exactly where it needed to be.
Yeah. there was one other thing I wanted to mention. I can't remember. I'm just so happy that it looks like we have a quarterback, man.
Yeah.
It really does. It looks like we have like a guy who can do the little things, and it might not be like a flash in the pan thing. We've now seen him do this like multiple times. He had 400 yards against the Bengals last year. He had 300 against the Bears this year. Like at some point, like, I mean, we got to see him do it again against the Vikings and the Bills, right? Like those are like
the biggest thing is, well, next week we'll understand whether or not this week was a true flash in the pan. You're going to play Minnesota in Minnesota. The Vikings are obviously a much better team than the Bears are. A lot is going to need to go right again. Obviously the Vikings now have a full game of film to look at Mike White and mm-hmm. see what he can do. I feel like that was one of the biggest reasons why he did so well in the Bengals game last year, because the Bengals had nothing to look at to
right.
you know, see what this guy does. Now the Vikings have that. Vikings obviously, you know, their defense is solid. It does what it kind of needs to do. It's much better than the Bears. I mean, poor Eddie Jackson on that Garrett Wilson touchdown. I mean,
yeah.
If his like ankle or something doesn't like explode, Garrett Wilson doesn't get that touchdown.
Yep.
You can see Garrett Wilson starting to run and Eddie Jackson on the ground, like clutching his ankle. I was like, oh, geez, this poor guy. But yeah, I mean, the Bears defense, obviously complete garbage. They were down to, you know, I saw Bears fans saying the guy that Garrett Wilson scored on the first touchdown was like a fourth stringer. So they're not in, you know, obviously anything special. So it's going to be a much tougher test. The Jets might now be without Michael Carter for next week. That was the reason Donovan Knight was getting so many touches. I didn't realize he got hurt.
Yeah. He has an ankle thing.
Yeah. So he might be out for next week, so it'll have to be I imagine that they'll have to activate James Robinson again if that's the case. So
they might just rock with Ty Johnson and Donovan Knight, which I don't think Ty Johnson's like any good still. Donovan, you know, the jury's still out on Donovan.
I feel like they need like a more, and Ty Johnson's not like a rookie or a young guy. I mean, he's been
now another thing that I thought about with James Robinson is it could have to do with him like needing like a certain amount of yards to get a bonus.
I think that's what it is. I think it's like he needed like 300 yards or something like that mm-hmm. to get for the comp pick to go up around.
Yeah,
which would be an interesting kind of reason behind sitting him. But I think also now the Jets coaching staff has a more legitimate reason, you know, on the surface to start Donovan Knight more because he did well yesterday.
Yeah, he played great.
I mean, he's a very good, you know, he's very good. He's very quick and elusive. He can catch passes out of the backfield. His very first touch of his career was a pass that he ran for like 15, 20 yards. So he's got the skill set to do stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Will we see Zach Wilson again this season?
I say yes. Because I think that Mike White, I think if we see him again, it'll probably be, obviously, if Mike White implodes. I mean, I think Dan Orlovsky was saying that this morning. He's like, there's no reason to go back to Wilson, which I think everyone seems to be in universal agreement on, until something really bad happens to White. You know, if something, he's out there and he's just completely lost, like say the Vikings game, things don't go his way. Sure, you don't have to take him out. Bills game, total tragedy. Not that Wilson's like, you know, going to be an improvement or anything like that.
Like, would he like you think that, like, is 2 weeks enough to fix like the fundamentally broken quarterback that we've been hearing about? Like, no, it's not. Absolutely not.
So more a matter of, you know, I think the smart thing to do now would be to have Wilson be the backup and not have.
I wouldn't even do that. I think that this team, it sends a bad message doing that to this team. Okay. Yeah. I think that they'd be like if they announced that, be like, Zach's the backup. They're gonna be like, why is he?
Why?
We don't want him. Like, we don't want him anywhere near. Like, they the potential. It's a mentality morale thing at this point. I think. You can't have him. He's in a hoodie, like, on the sideline during this game, like moping,
looking like and, a Skywalker, like kills all the
stuff. Yeah. And like, yeah, exactly. And like, there are some like cherry picked photos that like people are like pointing to where it's like, look, all the other quarterbacks and quarterback coaches are looking and Jack's just sitting by himself, like not paying attention. Like, yeah, I mean, he was looking at like an iPad like before that and
like two like, seconds.
Pass it, that yeah. And pass it off to Flacco.
Yeah.
But also like just but at the same time, like if you looked at him and the pictures that were taken of him, like he just looked miserable and he should feel miserable. I don't blame him for feeling miserable, but I'm pretty sure that this team is pretty done with him. And what I mean by that, like the team, like the actual team itself, maybe Joe Douglas and Saleh still want to be able to salvage him because they're, you know, he's their wonder boy that they picked in the draft and they want him to work out. But it's so clear who the better quarterback is. And I don't think that this is a flash in the pan with Mike White. I think that he is perfect for this offense. He takes the easy things. And this is such an easy offense to run for a decent quarterback. We saw Joe Flacco throw for over 300 yards like a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco is so washed up. He's not good. Mike White looked fantastic. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
He was making great throws, great reads. No mistake. Like, he made one. I think there was one ball that could have been picked, and that was it. And you know what? That happens to quarterbacks. But at no point did I think that the game was too much for him. It was too fast. I think that last year's like drubbing he had against like the four interception game he had, a lot of that was he was hurt, and I think that also, you know, him being relatively new to starting quarterbacking, like being a starting quarterback in the NFL, probably a little bit of that got to him.
Yeah.
Now he's had another year to like sit and like chill and relax. And I mean, why not Mike White? Why not? Why can't he be like, why, like from everything we've seen so far when he's healthy, right? So that Bengals game, the first quarter of that Colts game when he was just awesome. And he threw that touchdown to Elijah Moore. And then he got hurt. He hurt his like hand or his thumb or whatever. And he wasn't the same after that. And now we have this Bears game to point at. And we're like, you know what? Like, there's that's still a professional football team on the other side there. You know, I know they're 3-9. They're banged up. They got no talent in the secondary right now. But this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to like smoke bad teams.
Right. No, of course.
You know, so until he starts to show us like that he can't do it, like I'm going to believe that he can do it. And we don't need him to throw 300 yards every game. I mean, he only threw the ball 28 times. You know, he was super efficient. He was throwing the ball downfield and there were some big plays that helped him get a lot of those yards. You know, the 42 yarder to he had a 29 yarder to Conklin, a 42 yarder to Elijah, a 54 yarder to Garrett. He had a 16 yarder to Ty Johnson and to Zonovan Knight, 11 yards to Mims. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six guys caught balls for at least 10 yards, or at least 11 yards or more in that game. Throwing the ball downfield. I mean, the spray chart was a thing of beauty.
All over. Exactly.
It was a thing. Like, we were talking about how, like, Zach can't throw left a couple weeks ago. Like, Mitch Trubisky and him. You know what? I mean, 10
White
different...
White was out there throwing it wherever he needed it, need the ball to go. Whatever the situation called for, White was hitting it. And the biggest thing I was
10 guys. 10 yeah, guys caught 10 a pass.
Guys, 10 guys caught a pass. Like that's fantastic. Like, and yeah, the biggest thing with me was he only got sacked once, and that was because he didn't. I don't even think he got a chance to like look up after dropping back. The guy that sacked him was just in there that quickly. Was just how fast he was processing everything, and it was just seeing this guy, seeing that, not being afraid to as Robert Saleh has said a multitude of times, play boring football, let his guys do the job that they need to do. They obviously are they're football players too. You don't have to do everything yourself and hope that you're throwing it 30 yards down the field and then the guy doesn't do anything after it after making the catch. Obviously, that's still a great play, but these guys are all very fast, or at least a few of them are very fast. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Berrios is fast. Why do you think they do all those like short routes, like those screen passes? Do you think he does end arounds? Like these guys are fast, so you can let them do what they need to do to get the yards themselves if you can just get them the ball, which is something that Wilson has obviously just not been able to do. And until White shows us otherwise, or you know, God forbid he gets hurt, like there's no reason to go back to Wilson. Stick with White. Stick with him for as long as you feel like you need to.
Yeah. And
maybe you go back to Wilson if you get a playoff spot locked up and the division's out of reach. I don't know. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're doing that just because you don't want White to get hurt.
Sure, like he can come in during garbage time.
Which is kind of like which I do kind of wish they did yesterday. Not with Wilson. You can obviously not put, you know, you can put Flacco in. Because it was like 8 minutes to go and they were up by 21. Like the game was more than out of reach. I kind of wish they had taken him out at that point. But, you know, that's the way
that was an unfamiliar situation that we were in. I don't blame anybody for not knowing what to do.
So I was probably like in the last 2 minutes, like, oh shit, we probably should have taken him out. Yeah. Or maybe not send him on like a QB sneak to you know, secure the game. I think even the announcers were like, "Oh, that's a bold call." you got your guy.
Yeah.
It's like that's a interesting thing to do. But yeah, I mean, for now, this is the Mike White show, and I'm sorry, but you know, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I'm very excited, and now. Like, you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for looking at, like, the passing yard leaders to change on ESPN, where it goes from Zach Wilson to Mike White in, like, 2 weeks, where Mike has, like, 1,000 yards passing and, like, 10 touchdowns and, like, 2 interceptions. And the image goes from Zach Wilson to Mike White for passing yard leaders. Like, it's still Breece Hall for rushing. 80 carries for 463 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Who's second? Michael Carter?
Probably Carter. Yeah, it doesn't. It just shows like the passing yard, rushing yard, and receiving yard leader for each team. So I'm looking ahead now. So I think that's all we. Anything else on the Bears?
I mean, there's a lot of talk going around about Sauce, and like I don't like how he's apparently catching now some flack. Some people.
Oh, I mean, you know, this is what happens.
You know, they're throwing rocks from the bottom. And
when you have success, you're going to have haters. And a lot of people are like, all he does is PI. You know what? All anybody does is grab onto people. But on the PI on Claypool literally grabbed onto his shoulder pads and ripped him down with him. There was nothing he could have done.
Not only that, they called the PI on him.
Yeah, they called the PI on Sauce on that play. And then there was also another the pass breakup he had in the end zone.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like he did, like, no, that's a legal play. You're like, he had his arms straight up. Maybe he could have turned his head a little bit, yeah, I mean, he made the right play. He didn't put his hands on Claypool. He played great defense and blocked the touchdown. Claypool and Fields is going to be a good combo, by the way, him and Mooney. So. Oh, yeah. So this is what I wanted to bring up. My buddy, obviously, you know, MetLife is known for having terrible, terrible surface. Like the turf is terrible.
Yeah.
And you know, Jets and the Giants are two of the most injured teams in football. There's like these stories about like how Mara of the Giants is like talking to the players about like what kind of service that they want to put in. And I like there was talk that it's going to be like artificial grass next year. But yeah. Honestly, they could like just scrap that and do regular grass if the players ask for it that much. Like, think about it like this way. Like, yesterday, last night, Jason Kelce would have torn his knee in half on a low hit from Kenny Clark, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was Adrian Amos, actually. But because it was a grass field, his cleats released from the mud, right, and his knee didn't snap in half. So this happens too much to Jets players and Giants players. And yesterday, my buddy goes, oh, it's raining? Yeah, somebody's going to have like a season-ending injury today, guaranteed. Darnell Mooney, torn ACL after the season.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
But it's shit. Yeah. And who knows what happened to Eddie Jackson?
Yeah.
I haven't seen what happened to him.
If someone, right, and they play at Soldier Field. That's certainly not turf. That is, yeah, that is
and the grass. Way, and the way he fell over, I mean, it screamed...
Like, oh, that's bad. Yeah.
It screamed like Marcus May in that game last season when he tore his Achilles and he, let's like, see, no one was around him. It was like non-contact. It didn't, you know, I could be completely, he might have just like twisted it or sprained it. I don't
non-contact
know.
Non-contact foot injury.
It definitely didn't look great for him.
Yeah, they're thinking it's Bears may have lost Eddie Jackson for the year. Injuries continue to mount and loss to the Jets. Yeah. They lost Jackson and Mooney for probably the year.
For sure.
It could be like a Linz Franz injury or just a broken foot. I don't know. You don't want to speculate, but it's not good. So, yeah, field not good. Hopefully they get that fixed next year. All right. That's it for the Bears for me. Anything else?
No, I feel good. You know, I kind
of. The Sauce Haters can
let me ask you one. How much of that game changes? I mean, I'm sure, I mean, a good amount of it does, but how much of that game changes if Fields is the quarterback?
A lot. I mean, the defense didn't look that good.
No, they didn't. Those first like couple drives, that first quarter, really.
They ran for 127 yards. I mean, David Montgomery was eaten. He was getting five and a half yards a carry. I mean, Simeon wasn't awful. I mean, he was just like, he was 14 of 25 for 179, a touchdown and an interception.
And threw the pick until the last drive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that it was just a lack of talent that they had there. And I mean, Justin Fields is a lot better than Simeon, but also like, I mean, the weather wasn't exactly conducive for Fields, like doing Justin Fields things.
Right.
Like, it could have been a day where Justin Fields got lucky he didn't play, because it could have been a day where he tore an ACL or something.
True.
Because they're not used to playing on turf like that. Yeah. Outside of like a couple of stadiums that they play in. But like, you know, Soldier Field is grass. So, you know, maybe he dodged a bullet there. But yeah, I think the game definitely changes if Justin Fields is playing. I think that they sustain longer drives. The defense gets more tired. And but I still think the Jets would have won. They would have still put up 31 points, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I think so too, for sure.
So, all right. Let's move on. Let's go to the Vikings, because there's a lot I want to talk about with this game. Jets Vikings. This is, you know, we've had a couple of like, this is the biggest game of the season. Well, you know, this is the biggest game of the season to this point.
We've had a couple of biggest games of the season, both against the Patriots. They lost both of them.
And, right.
We also got to say, the coin is dead for
coin
you.
Is dead. Coin is dead.
It's officially dead.
Rest in power. Rest in power, coin.
The Jets losing to the Bears. So the rest of the season is completely a mystery as far as we're concerned. So yeah.
And the Jets are supposed to win this game.
They are, according to the coin.
According to the coin. So who knows? But I'd say this is the best team that they've played yet so far. They played, you know, the Bills and the Vikings did play, and they had a great game. The Bills won that game, right? Yeah. So, yeah, the Bills, they've beaten the best team that they've played so far already. This is the second best team that they've played so far. You know, I'd say the best teams that they played so far are the Ravens, the Bengals. They lost both those games, but that was a different team. That was a different Jets team.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins did not have Tua.
Right.
And you know, we put up 40 on them, but they still have they've improved. They're healthier. That game's going to be crazy and very important. And then you obviously, like, the Patriots, both those games, good teams. Clearly, you know, they're, I don't think their Patriots are that good. We just played like dog shit. and then the Bills.
Person played like dog shit.
Yeah. And then the Bills. The Bills. So Justin have played some really good teams this year, and they've had varying degrees of success. This is, record wise, this is the best team they've played so far.
Right.
Vikings are 9-2. They have the best wide receiver in football. I don't think it's up for debate anymore. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson, Jay Jettas. He is special, legitimately special. That catch he had in the Bills game. I mean, that's going to go down. That's like, that's the Jefferson catch. Like, Odell had his catch. Like, everybody has, like, their catch. That was the Jefferson catch. And Justin Jefferson is just that dude. Like, he's just that.
He's him.
Yeah. And then you have Dalvin Cook, who's been a stud running back forever. They also have Adam Thielen. They added TJ Hawkinson. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins finally played well in primetime. This game could get moved to primetime. I don't think they can anymore. They can't anymore? Okay. So I think this game could have been moved to primetime. I don't think it's going to get the Jim Nance, Tony Romo treatment, mm-hmm. because Bengals Chiefs will.
Yeah.
But they'll get Ian Eagle and Charles Davis for this game, which is, you know, just a big feel. Every time Ian Eagle's doing a game, you love to hear it.
Right.
I also wouldn't mind Kevin Harlan. Oh, that'd be electric.
Away team is who always gets like the network, right? Like the Jets played on.
No, this is on CBS.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
Fox yesterday because they played the Bears.
Yes. So yes, this is AFC. CBS has AFC, and yes, the Jets are. This is a CBS game. I think it's because that was the AFC Championship last year, Chiefs Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why they'll get Nance and Romo. But this is still like this is like part of their doubleheader. They'll be like, we got Jets Vikings going right into Bengals Chiefs, like right. Two big games, which is like not something we could say for a long time. Like
it's a conversation.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The Jets are 4-1 on the road. It's disgusting seeing that one there. I mean, it's still so degrading that they lost to the Patriots the way they did both those games, because the Patriots just aren't that good. The Jets are better than the Patriots, and it just, Zach Wilson's just so dead to me. All right. Matchup predictor. Any guesses?
I saw the line this morning that Vikings are -3.
Right.
Which is nice. It's like, okay, I can deal with that. But I think 60 and 65 Vikings.
70.5 for the Vikings, the 29.2% for the Jets, which doesn't make that doesn't equal 100%, but
100%.
Tie is 0.3%.
I was gonna say they gotta give that a little margin for a tie.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see that. I wanted to bring that up because normally it's just like, it's the matchup predictor, LOL.
Yeah.
But this is, I find it interesting that Vegas has that spread of 3, but 70% of the picks are on the Vikings so far. I think that's a very juicy line if you're a better Vikings -3. They're at home. It's still the Jets. People don't believe in them yet.
Nope.
They are definitely intrigued by the Jets. I think that, and I guess this is a little gambling talk, which I love doing, to be honest. Over-under is 45.5, excuse me, which is a good amount of points.
Yeah.
But Jets money line's +140,
ooh,
which I could see a lot of bettors placing in money line parlays because of that juice right there.
Yeah, for sure.
You're 7-3. You have, like, you match up well against the Vikings defensively. Like, you just do. Kirk struggles with pressure. You have great run defense. You can shut down Dalvin Cook. And then you have an elite secondary that can hopefully help contain this passing attack of theirs. It's very plausible that the Jets win this game. I mean, I'm going to pick them to win this game. I'll save my score for later. Little tease right there. Just keep on listening. but at this point, like, why am I going to pick against the Jets? Like, this is a team that it seems they have a quarterback that can actually like run the offense now. That can move, that can avoid sacks, and isn't going to turn the ball over like a moron. Yeah, I expect us to win. I expect us to win in most situations. You know, I mean, listen, a road game in Minnesota is not going to be easy. Those Vikings fans are going to be clapping above their heads, yelling, score.
They're going to be blowing the horn.
Yeah. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. This is going to be the most electric atmosphere that these Jets players have played in since college.
They've gone from our good friends to our worst enemies. They beat the Pats on Thanksgiving.
They did.
Very helpful. Also, you said something about the environment. I saw the other day, completely off topic, but did you realize, because I didn't, it's pretty crazy to think about it, but I mean, this was a little while back that I saw it, but did you realize that Mekhi Becton's never played a Jets home game like with a crowd in the stands?
No.
His rookie season was the COVID season. There's no one there.
I mean, now that you say that, it makes
he missed the Panthers. He missed the first game of the second season was in Carolina, got hurt, and he missed this season.
That's so crazy.
He's going into his fourth season without having played in front of a home crowd at MetLife Stadium.
It's going to make it much sweeter for him when he finally does.
I hope so. I mean, he was cheering on the boys via Twitter along with Brees and AVT yesterday. It was good to see. But anyway, like you were saying, the Vikings fans, they got plenty of things to root for. They are very much going to win the NFC North. I don't think that's
up for debate. No, at this point.
You know, like, they very much are in the driver's seat in that division. Like you said, we don't have the primetime Kirk Cousins factor to, he did fine against the Patriots. Won them the game. And I think this is Sauce's biggest test since
it is. No, it's Diggs. His biggest test since Diggs
for sure.
Chase, yeah.
Well, you got Diggs. Well, he's played some very good receivers. He's gone up against Diggs and they figured him out after the first half. He went up against Tyreek and Waddle, but that was with Skylar Johnson, Thompson, whatever the fuck that guy's
and
name.
And DJ Reed stayed on Diggs most of that game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is definitely just going to be, and it's not even so much just like Sauce and Jefferson. It's just their secondary biggest test, I think, so far. Vikings have, like you were saying, they have Justin Jefferson, they have Adam Thielen, they have TJ Hockenson. Dalvin Cook can catch balls out of the backfield, too. Like, it's a... You know, it's stuff to worry about. And I think with the defense showing up immediately, like the way they did against Chicago, the Vikings could get out ahead early.
This defense is that good.
It is.
And I think that I'm more afraid of the Bills defense. I mean, the Bills offense because of the Josh Allen scrambling factor.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, the statue in the pocket.
True.
This pass rush is just going to get after him, I feel like.
Yeah.
Not like the Vikings have a good offensive line, but I expect there's a reason I said this team matches up well against the Vikings. There are certain, I mean, when you have a shutdown corner like this, a shutdown secondary, if we're being honest, like DJ Reed has been elite also. So you have two guys who can shut down your top two receivers. CJ Mosley's playing. I mean, he's been an all-pro middle linebacker. He already has over 100 tackles on the season, you know, and there's five games left. Is there five games left? 7-4. Six games left. Right. You know, safeties are playing great. Oh, this is a very elite defense that I think that, you know, I think the tackling needs to get a little bit better. I think that we noticed that
it was bad yesterday.
Last 2 weeks, it hasn't been great, and we need to get the tackling down because you can't be missing tackles against these guys. But overall, I mean, you know, all we need is Mike White to do what he's been doing. Andrew Siliano tweeted this an hour ago. Sunday's Jets win was their third game with 30-plus points and 450 total yards of offense in the last four seasons. Can you name me the starting quarterbacks of those starts?
Mike White?
Yeah.
I mean, something to be said for that, I guess. And especially when you look at the offense last year.
Wait, Mike White for which game? Are you just saying all three of those games were?
It's only two out of three, right? Is it two out of three?
No, it's all three. Mike White has all three of those games.
I was like, my brain was like all over the place. My favorite little graphic yesterday was, what was it? When they showed his stats or something, it was like
200 yards or whatever.
Yeah, something like that in the first half, and it was like first Jets QB to do that since himself. I was like, that's amazing. But yeah, but I mean, one of the games that's included on there, he started, but that's the one he got hurt in. It was the Colts game, so he wasn't like responsible for the majority of that. But I get your point. If he can go out there. And he doesn't even necessarily have to do what he did against the Bears. If he just guides them to a victory, and it'll be a much closer win than it was against the Bears, no doubt about it. Then they got something going. You know, the Cowboys were able to go in and eviscerate the Vikings. So I think that it's certainly possible for the Jets to get out and, you know, certainly go out and win this game. It's absolutely a winnable game.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of things working against the Jets going into the game that you pick the Jets. If I were to pick, I'd pick the Vikings. But we were also saying before the call start, before we started recording, I mean, every single game is important. The AFC playoff race is too tight.
It is November 28th.
Razor thin.
It is November 28th and the Jets are 7-4. Yes, every game matters moving forward. I mean, this is we are getting meaningful football in December.
We did it. This is what we said before the season started.
Yep.
The season wasn't over by Halloween. We sprinkled in a little draft talk here and there, but that's not been the primary focus of these podcasts. We're recording for longer than half an hour at some points because just more to talk about. Like,
yep, it's great.
It's good. It's good working right now.
So I would say we can talk. I mean, like, listen, like, there's only so much, you know, we can talk about this Vikings game. We understand. I think the Jets understand the assignment. Jets fans understand the assignment. You got to play good defense against Jefferson and Cook and Hockenson. Got to get after the quarterback, right? There's six games left. You are 7-4. Most wins you can get is 13. You can finish 13-4 if you win out. I don't see that happening.
No.
No. You have four road games left and two home games. You're going to win your two home games against the Lions and the Jaguars.
Well, Lions.
I think they're going to win their two home games against the Lions and the Jaguars. Lions
almost beat the Bills. And they beat the Giants pretty well.
Yeah, no, I know.
Lions are a much tougher matchup than I think we give them credit for.
Listen, no, the Lions are a good team. They have a lot of talent. But, I mean, that's just the Jets. That's a game the Jets need to win.
Yeah.
That's not a game.
Without question.
If they lose to the Vikings, so be it. They're 9-2, now 10-2. Makes sense. You can't lose to the Lions and the Jags. You just can't. They've got talent. They're not as talented as the Jets. They're not as good as the Jets. The Jets need to win those two games.
For sure.
So you need to win those two home games. You have at the Vikings, at the Bills, at the Seahawks, at the Dolphins. You need to win one of those four games. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't need to win the Jaguars and Lions games. You need to win three of your next six games to pretty much guarantee yourself, I wouldn't say guarantee, but put yourself in a fantastic position to make the playoffs.
If you can win three of those six games with one of them coming against the Bills or the Dolphins, I mean,
yeah, you're probably in the playoffs. 4-2-4. I don't think you're making the playoffs.
You know, you need a couple of things to break your way.
Yes.
Yeah.
This team is good enough to make the playoffs, and hell, even go on a playoff run. All right. Starts this week. Starts with the Vikings. Go out there. Do your job. Play a good game. You know, no, mistake-free football is winning football. Let's see if Mike White can do it, man. Let's see if he can put back-to-back good games together. It looked like he was going to do that last year, and then he got hurt. So I'm really hoping that this is the year that he can pull it off.
For sure.
Can pull it off. All right, any final thoughts about the Vikings?
Like I said, I think the Vikings take this one, but it is without a doubt within the realm of possibility the Jets can win this game.
Do you have a final score?
I say 27-20. They beat them by a touchdown.
Okay. So the Vikings cover. I'm going to have the Jets winning 33-30.
Okay. Very tight game on both our. Both
yeah. 33-30. So that's my final score. Listen, you got to win. You got to keep on winning. Just that's all it comes down to. We've come very far this season. We're 7-4. Nobody thought this was going to happen.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe Jared, but that's about it. Maybe
Jared. Shout out. Hashtag Jared might be right.
Jared might be right. Jared was definitely right. We were definitely wrong. Definitely wrong. But yeah, I mean, listen, this is gut punch time.
This is a big week.
Not gut punch time. Nut crunch time.
Gut check.
Gut check time. Gut check time. Check. Yeah, gut check time. There's a bunch of different sayings I could have gone with there, and I botched all of them. yeah, it's gut check time. Time to. And you normally gut check time is like, oh, you've lost like two in a row. Can you like stop the bleeding? No, like you know what? You know you've won like three of your last five. And you need to have they won three of the last five? Did I just pull that out of my ass?
The last five games. Yeah.
You've won three of your last five. Two of those losses were to the Patriots. You're going on the road now. The Vikings, you know, the Bills are kind of stumbling right now. Win one of these games, and we're looking real nice the rest of the way. I'll be okay with 8-5 heading into the home game against the Lions.
For sure.
You know? Get me to 10 wins by that going to Seattle. If we have 10 wins going to Seattle, I mean, I'm going to feel great about our chances of making the playoffs. But
yeah. You know, oh, absolutely.
Let's take care of business here. All right. Any final thoughts?
Go Jets.
Go Jets, baby. All right, folks. That's it for us here. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Jesse Finver. Connor, where can they find you?
At Connor, Connor, _ Sheeran, Sheeran, just like Ed Sheeran, the singer.
Oh, yeah. Gotham Sports Network, you can go to GothamSN.com. You can find us on Twitter at GothamSN. Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts is where you can find all of the Gotham Sports Network podcasts, including previous episodes of this podcast, if you want to listen to us complain and from past years. You know, if you're in the mood to listen to us yell about Sam Darnold or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
who played well, by the way.
He had a great game yesterday.
Yeah, he played great. Good for him. Very happy for our young son, Sam. Young son, Sam. And yeah, that's it, folks. Enjoy your Victory Monday. Or I guess hope you enjoyed your Victory Monday. I hope you're enjoying your Victory Tuesday, because that's when this will come out. And go Jets, baby. Peace.